I'm now several weeks removed from leading a birding safari to Tanzania. Now that I'm back here in Realityville, it feels a world away. While I was gone, the first of the early migrants snuck in, like common grackles. Upon seeing some as I drove through Orleans shortly after returning, I said to myself, "Hey, Rupel's starlings." This was, of course, not correct. I left that grackle-like species back in the Serengeti. It took some time to adjust to the more pedestrian birds and mammals of home. As you know, if you've been, even the starlings are spectacular in East Africa. With six Mass Audubon travelers in tow, including a small flock of Cape Codders, I visited northern Tanzania, home to some of the world's great parks. The wildlife-filled bowl of the Ngorongoro Crater, Tarangire with its dense population of elephants and spectacularly alien baobab trees, and of course the famed Serengeti and its thundering herds of zebra and wildebeest chasing the rains from Kenya to Tanzania. It had been a while since my last visit to East Africa, where I studied wildlife management for a semester in college, so I found it took a lot of work to relearn the 800 or so species of birds possible in the region. For an American birder, there's no frame of reference for a lot of the species in Africa, and I didn't want to embarrass myself by confusing a brubru with a boo-boo, an Eremomala with a Camaroptera, or worse yet, a kukul with a cuckoo. And don't get me started on the cisticolas. They make our sparrows seem gaudily colored. But with fun names like zitting, rattling, and wailing cisticola, one can almost forgive their infuriating drabness. Most people don't go to Africa to see small, confusing birds, of course. So on several occasions, we made a point to cast a perfunctory glance at the sleepy lions a few feet from our Land Cruiser, the imposing herds of African buffalo staring us down, or the several leopards we saw one afternoon in the Serengeti. Another evening, we watched a family group of 30 elephants splashing around in a waterhole like enormous children, in perhaps the purest demonstration of animal joy I've ever seen. We had good luck with all the usual big targets, with the exception of rhinos, which never came within camera distance. But I'm inclined toward the more obscure and seldom seen mammals anyway, with sightings of the small, lanky cat known as a serval, the family of sleepy, snuggling bush babies, a type of huge-eyed nocturnal primate, and the just-plain adorable bat-eared fox near the top of my highlight list. We also deigned to look at the more stereotypical birds of an African safari. Visits to multiple alkali lakes provided that classic Rift Valley scene of many thousands of greater and lesser flamingos feeding together in a writhing pink mass of legs and long necks. Gigantic, ponderous cory bustards strutting fearlessly about the plains, and the delightfully weird secretary bird, essentially a hawk that's been stretched into absurd lankiness on a medieval rack, stalking the savannas in search of snakes and other prey. I could go on and on, of course, but part of traveling is accepting that others have a limited attention span for our vacation stories. I'll just say this, if you have any interest in wildlife, get yourself to Africa somehow, because there's nothing like it anywhere. And with the wildlife facing threats from habitat loss to poaching to climate change, it won't necessarily be there forever.